And so we read, while he was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon and Andrew, throwing their net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he says to them, come after me, and I'll make you fishermen of people. So let's stop here. We have these men, they're hard at work. And they would have considered Jesus to be a rabbi, which is a distinguished teacher. And it was customary for individuals to come and approach the rabbi and request that they might be able to follow after him. And as a sign of respect, they would actually follow in his footsteps. They would follow after him. And yet, Jesus already is breaking customary things, and he's coming to these people and asking, come after me, and I'll make you fishermen of people. So already, he's coming to them instead of them coming to him. And next, he's coming to fishermen. He's not coming to the regular people that rabbis would come to, like those studying the Torah, rigorous learning, already in the profession, per se, as what he would have been in, preaching. And so this is really interesting. And like I said before, this fishing, it's not that they were poor or anything like that. They had a good job. But perhaps just as Jesus was born in a manger, it will be fishermen who will spell out the paradoxical character and insignificant beginning of the kingdom of God. And so when this question was put to the disciples, I put myself in their shoes and I started asking all these questions. I had, what is the job description? What do you see in us fishermen that would be worth investing in? Am I even qualified for this task? Where will we go? Where will I live? How much do I get paid anyways? What do I need to bring? How do you fish for people? Is fishing for people more important than fishing for fish? What about for James and John? What about our father? Who will take care of him? What will we do with our boats and our net? And yet, here am I, standing on the beach, asking all these questions, and by now, Jesus and these four fishermen are probably in Capernaum. And I'm here on the beach. We read, and immediately the ones having left their nets followed him. At this point, people are going to say and start listing the reasons, well, they must have met him before. There was some sort of prior knowledge of what was going to happen here for them to leave that fast. Yes, there is. We can go to John 1, 36 to 51, and read about how Andrew was one of John the Baptist's disciples. And that when he met Jesus, he left following John the Baptist and started following Jesus. And then he went and told his brother Peter, and he joined him. And then also in Luke, we read that Jesus used Peter's boat to stand and preach from the shore. And after teaching a multitude of people, they put out to sea with Peter and some others. And Jesus helped them catch a miraculous number of fish. And then it followed with Jesus calling him to become a fisherman of people. And yet, I want us to read Matthew on his own terms today. Let's read Matthew on what he wants to emphasize. And I think what he wants us to see is that Jesus came, saw them fishing, called them to become fishermen of people, and that they responded. He saw them, he called them, they followed. He saw them, he called them, they followed. This is what Matthew wants to emphasize. This is what Matthew emphasizes in the calling of Matthew, the tax collector. Jesus saw him, he called him, he followed. They didn't know what was going to be coming ahead of them, per se. They didn't know the roadmap. But they said yes to becoming fishermen of people. And they did so immediately. So, although they might not have been fully aware of what this was all going to be meaning, we have the advantage of having the whole book in front of us today. And so let's try to look and answer some questions about what does it mean to be fishermen of people, anyways. France, a scholar in Matthew, writes that it's recruiting new subjects to God's kingdomship. Remember how we read Jesus preaching, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near, and then John the Baptist who also said that? Well, if we flip to Matthew 10, we read of Jesus calling the disciples. Sending them out. We read in verse 1, he called his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. He lists the 12 disciples. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go out among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out the demons. Freely you have received, freely give. It's interesting. Let's go to Matthew 28. 28:18-20. Then Jesus said to him, Then Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Sounds like to me Jesus is king. The kingdom of heaven is near. I think the call of being fishermen of people is to go and make disciples, to go out and preach that the kingdom of heaven has come. But first, before they could do this, they had to first follow Jesus before they could teach others to follow Jesus. So what does it mean to follow Jesus, then, we have to ask? Thankfully, Matthew shows us other examples in his book. Well, for these fishermen, we learn that for them, it meant leaving everything. Their nets, their business, their boats, their family connections, their comfort. We have other instances in Matthew where we see what it means to follow Jesus. Matthew 8:18-22. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Another disciple said to him, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus told him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Very costly to follow Jesus. Matthew 16:24-25. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? What does it mean to follow Jesus? To deny self, to take up one's instrument of death, and to follow Jesus. We can assume that Peter and Andrew, the same calling was of James and John. The two stories are very similar in our text. And there's this process of Jesus seeing, calling, and then immediately them following. And so we've gone through this passage, we've analyzed it, we've asked some questions, we have a bit more understanding of what Jesus might be meaning when he calls these individuals, what it means to be fishermen of people, and what it means maybe to follow Jesus. So then what does this have to do with us today, now, here at church in the morning? Well, if you're not a Christian, first you need to find out who this Jesus guy is. Thankfully, this book that I'm talking out of, Matthew, it's a story about Jesus. And we have three others that tell us more about Jesus' life, who he was, what he did, and why he'd come. I encourage you to continue reading the Bible and learning about that. And also, if you have questions, obviously come and ask us, and we sing about him here, and we get to hear messages about who he was and what he's done for us Sunday after Sunday. It's a great privilege. And we believe that His word, although spoken and written to people long ago, still applies to us today. And we can use it to show how we ought to live our lives for Jesus, just like this passage shows us today. So let's ask the question. They left everything. What do we have to leave? I'm going to say that I believe we have to surrender everything to Jesus. Notice how I'm not saying leave. We have to surrender everything. I want to go back to Matthew 16, 24 to 25, because I think we get this principle here and what Jesus is calling these individuals to. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So what does that look like? Yes, it might mean money, possessions, leaving everything for some people, if that's what it's going to mean to surrender to follow Jesus in the way that he's calling you to. It was for the disciples. It was for these fishermen. It was for the individual that we read about, the rich young ruler who went away sad. This might mean to surrender your close family ties. You might have to move. James and John did this in our passage. It might mean surrendering your comfort. And then following Jesus out of your comfort zone. They had hobbies, they had routine, they had their job just like we do. They surrendered that and followed Jesus. Really, this verse is talking about surrendering our whole lives and following after Jesus. It is whatever it is that is preventing us from following Jesus. Our selfishness, everything that we put in priority, we have to surrender and then follow. I'm sure you guys have heard this before. I have. And yet, constantly things keep creeping up in my life that I have to continually surrender to the Lord. For me, right now in my life, it's my future. I'm coming to the end of my college degree. I have 1 year left. And then I get to apply to whatever I want to do. And so I ask myself, well, what job will pay me well? Put me in a good financial position to support a family, to buy a house, to get some land maybe. Or what are the benefits of this job? Or what kind of coworkers will I have? That will impact my decision. I ask these questions to myself, and I keep coming back to them first, when really my first priority would be to ask the Lord, is this a good place for me to use the gifts you've given me to fish for people? Will this job hinder my ability to follow you completely with my entire life? This is something that I wrestle with, something that I continually put myself before God's plans. And this message has reminded me, no, ask that question first. It's going to look different for you than it does for me. So we realize that, yes, we have to surrender everything and the things that we put in front of Jesus to follow him. What are those? But we also have to answer this question that we're asking. Is Jesus calling everyone to be fishers of people? Yes, he is calling us to all be fishers of people. Remember that fishing for people is recruiting new subjects to God's kingdom? How will we do that? Will it look the same for everyone? Once again, no. Thankfully, Peter was able to preach on this not too long ago, and it looks different, just as the Great Commission says. He talked about going out into your family and your friends, and then going out to your city and your surrounding cities. And then you go out to maybe all of Canada, and then there's some who go to the ends of the world. Preach this. So, what might it mean for you? It might mean you fish for people by being a godly parent with your children and teaching them the commands that Jesus has taught you. You will fish for people by being a godly spouse and encouraging and developing the effort to talk about Jesus more in your home. You can fish through people through your work interactions. This is something we hear regularly, but it's true. Heard stories this week. It was a blessing to hear of an individual who is a Christian, who went above and beyond in his call of work. and what a good reputation that puts on the church. He was being a Christ-like example. I believe that's fishing for people. Will you fish for people through camping ministries? We heard an announcement today about a work bee coming up. It's going to be reaching children of a First Nations community around us. Will you fish for people when you travel on planes, when you meet people in restaurants, and perhaps even when you yourselves go fishing? And for some, will you fish for people by leaving everything you have, just like we read in our text today, becoming fishermen of people? And if we stick to this passage now, we realize that this requires an immediate response. One of my good friends told me once, if you want to change something, don't start tomorrow, because it'll never happen. Start today, start now. Okay, so I'm here on stage right now telling you guys that if you're going to change something, you have to start now. So why don't you tell me what to change and what to start? Perfect. I'm glad you asked that question. I'm going to do that. I want you to encourage you to start by surrendering. Go home. Sit alone with God and ask him what needs to be surrendered in your life. Whether that's your reputation, your fear, our greed, our love for self, our stuff that makes us feel secure, that defines us, our money, our comfort zone, and ultimately, we need to be surrendering our entire lives up to Jesus. This is something you can do today. So we start with surrender. That surrender hopefully leads to following. Remember, we surrender those. And so this prayer that you're praying, I surrender this to you, Lord. Then when he comes to you next week, next month, later this year, and he says, hey, remember when you said you surrendered that? I need that now. Come follow me. That's what you're committing to when you pray this prayer. You're committing to the after as well. You're committing to the action. You're committing to the following by surrendering. It's not just the prayer. It's the following afterwards as well. And then I encourage you to become fishermen of people today. Begin that friendship. Invite them over for a campfire or supper. Go and beyond in your workplace to the people around you. Pray for others. So, when we surrender ourselves and follow Jesus, and then we commit to becoming fishermen for people, I believe that this passage in Matthew 4, 18 to 22, that's what it's telling us to do this day. So, when you're out fishing for people, when you're out fishing for fish this summer, and you're on your boat or you're on the dock, can you remember this? Can you remember what we learned in church today? Can you potentially even act on what you learned in church today and begin sharing that with the person that you're fishing with? I thought about making this especially for fathers, but really this is something for all of us. This is something everyone is called to do. So I encourage you with this message this morning, and I ask that the Lord would bless your week.